The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features ensure that you can take on any adventure. What kind of features? Well, how about the available H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud? Or the standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together? How about available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone? We're always trying to think about those great spring and summer getaways, but with a car like the Hyundai Santa Fe, anywhere can be your next adventure. To learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe, go to HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for complete details. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
To the house! Touchdown!
This is unbelievable.
Welcome to the Cover 3 Podcast with your hosts, Chip Patterson and Barton Simmons. It's your call for the best college football coverage. From National Signing Day to the National Championship and everything in between, CBS Sports presents the Cover 3 Podcast.
And welcome back to the Cover 3 Podcast here on CBS Sports. That's Barton Simmons. I'm Chip Patterson. You saw it. You know the siren sounds are there. This is an emergency podcast. We are going to be with you tomorrow. We are recording here on Tuesday, February 4th. Tomorrow is National Signing Day, and that timing plays a big role in the news of the day that brings us together, which is the sudden resignation of Mark D'Antonio from Michigan State. Barton, we've got a lot to unpack here. This required extra advanced reading, I know, on my part.
Yeah, me too. Not because I didn't. I understood the elements at play. I was aware of them, but I didn't want to have sort of a half-assed knowledge of it.
Yeah.
And so I still kind of probably have a half-assed knowledge of it in relative to some others, but I think it was important to get a little bit of educate myself a little more, make sure I had some of the nuances, because this is like a complicated situation,
right? And this is such a funny cross section of the college football coaching carousel and our small college football centric world with the real world, with like actual wrongful termination lawsuits and the possibilities of being deposed and having rulings not go your way. And all of a sudden, that going on at the same time as a football program where a lot of fingers are being pointed, a lot of blame is going around, as there has been a step back in performance. Like, not to mention Mark D'Antonio, based on his age and the length of his career, if he were to step down and retire, it wouldn't come as a major shock. So between the, you know, potential NCAA recruiting allegations that are coming out from the Curtis Blackwell lawsuit, and I'm sure we'll get into that, what's been happening on the field, and, you know, just everything else that's going on with this timing that includes the eve before National Signing Day, which part of this do you want to jump on first?
Oh, man. Yeah, and in addition to just the general sort of stubborn nature of Mark D'Antonio of not wanting to alter his coaching staff too much and just sort of shuffling the decks on the chairs on the deck of the Titanic, with the musical chairs, yeah, of that staff. Like, it's, yeah, I mean, I don't know where to start. I guess you start and just, all right, let's break down initially. I mean, my reaction is that this decision has probably been in the works for a while. This decision is probably not a result of directly of the Curtis Blackwell trial. And I don't know, maybe we should sort of just make a note on that. You know, that is, Curtis Blackwell was on campus as a director of, you know, high school relations or some title like that, and was involved, was communicating with the three players that were accused of sexual assault and was initially arrested, but wasn't charged with interfering in an investigation. and was later fired. And he's basically claiming that he was just sort of railroaded there and used as a scapegoat. So that's the Curtis Blackwell trial going on. And that's, I think that's a factor. I think that what we just talked about, the sort of the stubbornness of not wanting to change up his staff is a factor. I think the general negativity is a factor. I think the age is a factor. I think the,
I mean, he has
struggles
not sounded
recently as a factor.
Yeah,
like, I think it's just a collection of all of these things, and in addition, then the, you know, recruiting allegations, which are strictly allegations from Curtis Blackwell, and this trial came out like today, I think, right?
Yeah, this has moved very quickly from you know, okay, we'll see what happens in the case, and all of a sudden, like in litigation, when things start coming out in discovery, when it starts coming to it's time to put your hand on the Bible, start talking under oath. I mean, it is in the business of no college coach in major college athletics to go under oath if they don't have to.
Right.
It's just like, there is no win. There is no place. It's like there's a story about Rick Pitino and details that he was willing to divulge under oath to help himself in an extortion case. And those details were revealed because the oath and discovery and evidence is a wild thing in the world of college athletics. And that's not to, you know, try and lighten up the whole Curtis Blackwell case itself, which, right, I mean, it's also happening in the time of Larry Nassar, where like Michigan State as a university is absolutely motivated to make sure that anything having to do with sexual harassment or sexual allegation on campus is dealt with swiftly. Like they are at this very point in time when all this is going on, very, very much not trying to allow that to be the dominating narrative at that school. So a lot's going on that sort of all comes together and packs into, you know, what's going on here. What do you make of Mark D'Antonio just caught a longevity bonus like a week ago?
There's a part of me thinks that this isn't like him pulling one over on Michigan. I don't know, but my instinct in these sort of things is like Michigan State has probably been in communication with him about this decision, and you know what? He's the all-time winning, like, wins leader at the program. He's brought him a lot of success. I'm sure the powers that be have had a lot of coffees with Mark D'Antonio, and they're probably like, you know what, man? We get it. It's probably best for all of us to move on, but we're good if you take the bonus. Like, yeah, let's just do this after January 15th or whatever.
Ah,
You don't think so?
No. I think you're right. That's just not that I hadn't entertained it, but I just hadn't gotten to that point of just remembering the personal relationships that are absolutely between the university powers and Mark D'Antonio, and the fact that they've been going back and forth on this thing ever since the lawsuit was initially filed. Like this, the NCAA allegations portion of this, to me, is like the 19th biggest headline, but it just fits neat and clean into the way the story is being written today.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that ultimately, I mean, so the downfall of Mark D'Antonio, it's crazy to think how high Michigan State was flying
at
one point.
Yeah. We need to sell at some point. We need to celebrate the fact that there were three Big Ten championships, three finishes in the top six of the AP poll, four finishes in the top 10, 12 bowl games in 13 seasons, five double-digit win seasons. It's absolutely a wildly successful career at Michigan State.
So, and I bring that up because, all right, starting in, let's just call it 2010, because that's when the, you know, they finished 14th in the country, 11-2. 2010, 11-2, finished 14th. 2011, 11-3, finished 10th. Step back 7-6 year, still win a bowl game. 2013, 13-1, win the Rose Bowl, finished third. 14, 11-2, finished fifth. 2015, 12-5 finish, sixth, and that's the game that they get stomped by Alabama in the playoffs. And that 2015 season, and I look and well, that 2015 season is when it was clear Michigan State, as consistent a program as it had become, was also hitting its head on the talent ceiling a little bit. And you know, it got run off the field by Alabama.
Isn't it funny that that happens? It happened to Michigan State and it happened to Washington, where they get to claim forever that they've got a college football playoff appearance. But you right. bring that up with anybody who's was around it at the time, and you're like, come on. I mean, did you?
Right.
I mean,
and so,
did you?
And so that's, you know, so like, but that, I think that loss and the way it happened is, to your point, it's like that mars sort of this growing success. So all right, how do you get better? How do you take it to the next level? Well, you try to recruit better. And the 2016 recruiting class for Michigan State was the highest ranked recruiting class under Mark D'Antonio. It was a top 20 class. They finished 17th. And part of the reason it closed at 17th was taking Austin Robertson post signing day, a four-star kid, an elite talent who had all kinds of off-field issues. He'd gotten kicked off his high school team, kicked out of high school. I don't know how much of the stuff that Michigan State knew, but there was major issues. So Michigan State, who built this thing on culture, fit, development, you know, basically, and some of these guys, I don't know that there was a clear, that they would have known that they're taking a risk on. But there was a clear risk on Austin Robertson, so much so that it's been reported that in a private meeting with coaches where he discussed whether or not they should take him, an assistant coach said, "My daughter's on this campus. I'm not comfortable with him being here with my daughter on campus." And Mark D'Antonio was like, "Well, our culture's good enough to take care of it. I'm gonna take a personal interest in him. We're gonna make this work."
And now he's in jail, right?
And he's currently serving like a 10-year sentence for rape.
Yeah,
which happened after a rape allegation on campus. I think that's like a second rape. And so it's absurd, like that they would take this kid. And I think that is probably the even beyond. And again, so that 2016 class had, I think, 9 4-stars. 4 of them were involved in some sort of sexual assault and have since been kicked off the team. And so it's almost like a cautionary tale in a way.
Yeah.
Of like, all right, you know, are you willing to do what it takes to get to the next level? And Michigan State sort of decided they wanted to, and it ultimately is sort of the downfall of the Mark D'Antonio era in a way. I know that simplifies it a little bit, but it's hard not to acknowledge the clear sort of delineation between before the 2016 class and after, and what where that 2016 class was coming in, which guys in that 2016 class and their recruiting rankings, like, and how those two correlated and who was actually the bad seeds in that group. And it's like, it's just so hard to ignore all of that stuff and how it all comes together.
I mean, like, excuse me, not incredible. Just it is impossible to ignore, and it is very, very significant. And it's all, you know, this is something coming to a head where how many times on this podcast have we or someone else, even more than anybody who's a coaching insider, has mentioned, oh, and if Michigan State comes open, because it might, when talking about a head coach, either Matt Campbell or Luke Fickell, we can get to where we think Michigan State goes next here in a little bit. But the fact that there has been this chatter that Mark D'Antonio might be running out the line right now, it big picture, this shouldn't be a surprise. It's really just comes down to the timing, right?
Yeah. No, I think so. And that's another aspect of this.
That we've thought that this was going to be a job that changed hands for a while now.
Right. And so you have to wonder, okay, so what's the deal with the timing then? You know, is Mark D'Antonio and let me circle back to my point as a second ago too, because I want to mention this just while it's fresh in my mind, and then I want to get back because I want to get into what you're talking about too, the timing of it. But I couldn't help it when I was thinking about this 2016 class, because I just did a podcast recently with Pete Sampson from The Athletic, and we talked about Notre Dame sort of recruiting ceiling and how, you know, it's efforting to raise that ceiling because of the way that, you know, it's gotten handled in the playoffs against Clemson basically. And I couldn't help but think, because Notre Dame's obviously a program that has a very specific need and a very specific type of player that's, you know, they need to recruit to fit that culture and that campus. And, you know, it's just this is the type of thing that they should probably look at and be like, look, let's try to win national titles. But let's also make sure that we're staying the course for the right kind of guys, because, hey, 10-2 is okay if the alternative is sort of sending the program in the wrong direction by getting guys that just aren't Notre Dame type of guys.
Hey, well, how about this? It's why I think that Jim Harbaugh ain't going to get fired.
Yeah.
Yeah. No matter how many times, I don't know about no matter how many times, but these Ohio State losses pile up, but he's got double-digit win seasons and no scandal. And that right. is exactly what Michigan wants.
So back to the timing thing, though. I mean, this is a very bizarre time to do it. And because there's so many better ways you could leave this Michigan State program right now. There's so many better ways from a timing perspective for them to be equipped to hire a capable replacement. And maybe they're trying to box them. He's trying to box them in. So they have to hire Mike Tressel as an interim or as a just sort of a
that's what hey, listen,
coach.
He already threw it down when they asked him if he was going to make changes by just reassigning all the coaching duties. This guy is going to go in the homeboy Hall of Fame for the money he has made yeah. his friends if he's right. boxed them into having to take Mark Tressel
and keep the same coaching staff intact yeah. and all that stuff, man. Yeah. Just like just riding out
this
taking
guy.
Care of his boys.
Yeah, he is taking care of everyone. I kind of respect it, honestly.
Because, like, hey, I mean, right now, Michigan State, yeah, it's an attractive job. It's a good job. You've got a great fan support, huge campus, huge student body. You have access to talent there. You can recruit talent there. But right to go and hire someone in February, who's going to take that job in February? I mean, Luke, and we could talk about the merits of all these coaches, but like Luke Fickell at Cincinnati, he's got the best group of five roster in the country right now. And all of a sudden, the instability in the athletic department and just sort of the atmosphere, I guess, for maybe lack of a better word over there, is, you know, that's enough to maybe for him to say, hey, I'm good. You know, give me this offer in December and we got something to talk about, but what do you want me to do with this in February?
Coming up on the other side, where we think Michigan State goes next, who's on the wish list, and more next.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at NewBalance.com.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
So, I am willing to entertain the idea that Michigan State might actually just interim this thing and go like John L. Smith at Arkansas. I mean, what it, they're not going to call it a lame duck season, or like Jim Grobe at Baylor. I could see them just playing out the string.
Yeah. I mean, I can too. I mean, the obvious names are Luke Fickell, and I think that'd be a home run hire.
Yes.
I think he'd be awesome.
Yes, agree.
And by the way, Cincinnati has got a baller recruiting class right now in the AAC. Really good players.
This stinks for Luke Fickell. This is bad news for Luke Fickell if he doesn't have everything locked up tight right now.
No, he does, because then that's, I mean, so the it's weird that it's coming the day before signing day, and in 3 years ago, if it comes the day before signing day, I mean, that this is just total mayhem right now between Michigan State's commits and whoever the rumored candidates are, and the decisions those guys have to make. Like, it's a nightmare. But with the early signing period, all those Cincinnati commits have signed. All these Michigan State commits have signed. Like, there's not a whole, like, this is not going to have a major impact on National Signing Day, because there's just not enough loose commits out there.
Nice. Okay. I don't think that because it's going to get played up that it's like, oh my gosh, how could you do it to these kids? And in my head, that was where I went. I was like, Michigan State doesn't have a great recruiting class to begin with, A, and B, don't they already kind of have a lot of them already locked up tight?
Yeah, they have 7 guys already on campus, 12 more that have signed their LOI in December. They got 3 commits that haven't signed yet, so that committed, 2 of them that committed in January. So, yeah, there's just not signing day, ironically. Given the timing, it's not that big of a factor here. But, you know, it's still interesting just to see. It's just, I just think, it seems we've already started their offseason program. Like, I just think this is just a, you know, Luke Fickell's an obvious candidate. Pat Narduzzi is an obvious candidate.
Matt Campbell
has always been a guy whose name is mentioned with Michigan State. But I don't know, with the exception of, like, Narduzzi, that probably is the one that, I could see him just heading back to Michigan State. Like, it's a step up there. He hadn't exactly like broken through at Pitt yet, you know. So, it's sort of a.
Hey, I know it wasn't a pretty, like, no one is like super stoked about their 7-7 season, but he got to an ACC championship game.
I'm just saying from his perspective. Okay. He's been at Pitt for 5 years.
Oh yeah,
and he hadn't had a top 25 season yet. And you could go to Michigan State and just almost, I don't say stay ahead of the posse, because it's not like he's on the hot seat. But look, if he goes 5-7 next year, then what does that mean for the 2021 season? Like,
sure.
It's just sort of like you can sort of start your clock at a Michigan State program that is a more high profile program anyway. I suspect that there'd be a temptation there for Narduzzi that's maybe a stronger pull than someone like Matt Campbell or even Luke Fickell.
It's gonna get painted. The reason that I think that they might go lame duck year is that it's gonna be a bad look for whoever leaves their current program if they hire a sitting head coach.
Right.
Just let them all audition for you.
Yeah.
Season-long audition. Luke Fickell v. Matt Campbell the Pat Narduzzi, the winner gets the rose and the Michigan State program.
But it's just kind of a mess because it's so. All right. Yeah, I agree. Like it's, you're going to be hard pressed to hire one of these coaches. Maybe you can do it, but it would be kind of a bad look for whoever leaves their program in February or March. So let's assume that they'd go interim. It's, you're not going to recruit very well to it. They're not recruiting that well this year. You know, you're looking at two maybe consecutive bad recruiting classes. You're looking at who knows what they do on the field, an athletic department that's, you know, not in the best of times right now. And I just, you know, again, you go back to Mark D'Antonio just sort of like putting Michigan State in kind of a tough spot.
Right? Yeah. No, it's, I think that this is the Michigan State job. You mention it as a really great job, and it will still be a great job, but it will be slightly less of a great job because of the setback that's going to come from no matter what happens, just trying to scramble to put together the 2020 season. It's, this does not do much to help Sparty keep up with an Ohio State and a Penn State that are out there running already in a Michigan that is grinding as much as it can and making staff hires and trying to do everything it can. Like this, it is such a race of thoroughbreds in the Big Ten East. Michigan State will be more, they will like be a lap behind because of what happens with this Mark D'Antonio resignation.
Yeah. And in a way, like this is good news for some of those East teams that need a break, you know, outside of that top three of Michigan, Penn State, and Ohio State.
Indiana's like, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Like let's, you know, there's just this sort of, they need a little more room to maneuver, and this just gives them a little oxygen, I think. I feel like we've been talking a lot about this departure and it's been largely negative in tone with, as it relates to sort of Mark D'Antonio and his legacy. And I think that's just more, as much as anything, it's just sort of like it's like the news of the day. Like that's what's flavoring this news right now is the stuff around it. I'm curious how you think this is actually like the Mark D'Antonio legacy is going to look maybe 2 years from now.
Oh, a program changing head coach at one of the Big Ten's most established programs. Somebody who leveled up everything. And when you are when you're a program changing coach, you never forget it. That Michigan State was playing in the Rose Bowl. Michigan State won the Rose Bowl and everyone watched it, right? Like that was a massive, massive game. And the following year you make it to the college football playoff. You know, they took down Ohio State and sent Urban to the pizza, remember?
Yeah.
Like the original Sat Urban.
Was that the pizza meme?
The OG Urban pizza meme is after losing to Michigan State in the Big Ten Championship because that was when it was Legends and Leaders. Now they can't play in the Big Ten Championship because they're both in the Big Ten East.
Man, you're so good at the history stuff.
I forget
all that stuff.
Like I think that Mark D'Antonio's legacy at Michigan State is a program-changing coach. I mean, there aren't many coaches that are going to win 100 games at one stop, and he did it at Michigan State. I think he's the. Didn't you say he was the program's winningest coach? Is that it?
I believe this year he set the record.
Yeah.
I think that's right. I think I read that.
I have heard Mark D'Antonio lecture to other high school coaches, and as I've been like sitting in on some of those Nike Coach of the Year clinics, and I think that he's got a great vision for football and he's got a great vision for like how to build a program. I listened to him talk about it and it makes sense to me. I think Mark D'Antonio is a very good college football coach from the era that I've been working covering college football. That's what I think. I mean, where are you at?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, absolutely. I also think he's very old school, and I do think that we're that, and I think all that is true and needs to be on his, you know, bio moving forward as like the, you know, he transformed that program in a lot of ways. I also think though, as this thing started to close, even beyond the off the field stuff, there is a little bit of stubbornness even on the field and the coaching that I felt like it was starting to seep in, and it felt like the ceiling was lowering. Particularly if you're just not like you're just not willing to go out and find someone that can give your offense some juice, can give your offense some innovation. The teams are always going to be tough and disciplined under Mark D'Antonio, and they're always going to be able to win close games and keep games close. But I do think that, you know, this could be something to think about if you're in the mold of the old head, you know, tough guy coach that is thinks you can just sort of out tough people to win. You know, some of the old head coaches that are having success right now that are kind of resurgent are the Mac Browns and the Herm Edwards and guys like that, who, and I'm just throwing those guys out there because they're new and really high on the old spectrum. But you know, I think you gotta be able to innovate. You gotta be able to adapt. And I think some of the unwillingness to change the staff around kind of bit him in the end.
I will say this. He's got to think that it's frustrating that when you talk about Mark D'Antonio and schematics and culture and sort of what the identity of the team is, you imagine the tough defense and that's there, but then maybe you imagine a rushing attack and damn, if Michigan State struggled mightily to run the ball in 2019, like it was all just thrown to Daryl Stewart. Like he had to be putting his hands up being like, listen, I know you guys want me to innovate. We're chucking the ball 40 times a game. Like we're trying to innovate here. Our rushing attack is terrible. We're getting like 1.5 yards on first down runs. Like we are just throwing the ball right now. But you were right in that there was a call for change, and Mark D'Antonio, prior to the 2019 season, sent some messages all across the board when he was like, all right, cool. We'll just rearrange some responsibilities. Let's see how that works.
I will say for the last decade, every time I've said Mark D'Antonio's name, I've been thinking in my head, doubting myself, wondering if I should be saying Mike D'Antonio. The Mark D'Antonio versus Mike D'Antonio inner struggle.
Mike D'Antoni.
What is his? What? Right. I think that's the problem.
Yeah.
Is Mike D'Antoni's out there, and so I've never said Mark D'Antonio's name and been fully confident I'm saying the right name, and that's been a challenge that I'm kind of looking forward to
getting
to letting
off
go
your
of.
Plate. That's because there's also I think that there is a. D'Antoni has a brother who coaches Marshall. And please tell me it's Mark D'Antoni. Oh, it's Dan D'Antoni. Okay.
Okay. That's a little bit.
It's a little bit less confusing.
Yeah. It kind of, it's got a ring to it. I can handle Dan D'Antoni.
It's wild stuff. All right. So tomorrow we will be back with some National Signing Day instant recap. Who ended up as the number one team in the country, and sort of how the biggest commitments broke one way or the other. Any last hunches that you want to put on the record for those that are consuming this content on their drive home from work?
No, McKinley Jackson is the one that's most exciting to me. There's Alabama thinks they're getting an A&M thinks they're getting them, and we'll see if my opinion on that is different by the morning, because it very well might be. So that's the one that's going to be interesting to watch to me.
I've been told that if Jordan Birch doesn't stick with South Carolina, it is the biggest failure of the Will Muschamp era.
Well,
things are totally calm and not dramatic and blown out of proportion in South Carolina world.
I mean, I think that they're going to hang on though. Like now LSU seems to still think there's a fighting chance, but I think it's a bit of a long shot. So yeah, like don't think so negatively, South Carolina folks. You're getting them. Just deal with it if you don't, which I don't think you will.
All on the same day that Spurrier came out and was like, "Yeah, we really shouldn't have given Lorenzo Ward that 3-year deal." Defense went downhill after that.
Is that in the story? The Steve Spurrier story that's out there. I got to read that. Yeah, did you read it?
Yeah,
pretty good.
It's very, very good. I recommend it. It's a good
story.
We'll have to
talk about that on our next non-signing day show, along with some other news that's been popping.
For sure. All right, follow him on Twitter at Barton Simmons. You can follow me at Chip_Patterson. Barton, thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.